Okay, Psalm 37. It's great to be here. Thank you for having convention, Pastor, and all of you. Psalm 37 and verse 23. I was thinking about this verse because Pastor Hadley mentioned it to me this morning. And because I told him that yesterday I was down at the other end here while the women were having their tea inside there, and I was down there sitting and joined Pastor Hadley and Pastor John Perkins in a little table there. And I started thinking, like, because this year after convention, Karen and I are doing a little road trip that we've never done ever in our lives. We have relatives out on the West Coast, and we've never been out there ever. And so we're going to visit some relatives out there. And I thought, like, here's Pastor Perkins, and who would God give me a chance to talk with a little bit before the busyness of convention than Pastor Perkins? So I mentioned to him that we're going to be out there, and so we worked out a plan that we'll visit the church there in Las Vegas. Then, yeah, hallelujah. Then Katie Rodriguez said to me, like, we got like a blessing. We're going to be out visiting in San Diego in July. We got a blessing, just a gift, a blessing. And I said, because one of the places that we're visiting is my cousin, who I never thought I would actually, I mean, I know the word serendipitous. Do you know the word serendipitous? You know what it means, though? What's it mean? Yeah. Actually, the way I think of it is, like, is the word, it means like a surprise blessing, you know, a surprise blessing. But I never thought I would ever get a message from someone, an email that actually used that word. But I did. And my cousin, because I wrote to my cousin, I said, like, hey, we would like to come and visit you. And he lives outside of San Diego. And so he said, you know, like, what a serendipitous email. So we're going to be there. And actually, but I said, so Katie, when are you going to be there? And she told me, and I said, that's the date. That's the exact date that we're going to be in San Diego. So we'll get together with them too. I mentioned that to Pastor Hadley, and he said, Psalm 37:23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord. When he delights in his way, you know, like, it's sometimes so hard for us to think of ourselves as godly. You know, it really is sometimes, because, like, we live with ourselves. But it says, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. And then it says, I have been young, and I never thought I would read this verse with any sort of, like, experiential idea, but I have been young and now am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. I'm doing a Bible college class on this book, The Saving Life of Christ. I don't know if you know this book. Was written, Major Ian Thomas, in 1961. I got this book when I was a teenager, and I you know, I was reading it. I'm doing a class on it now, but I was reading this one thing. He writes about Moses, and he said, Moses, you must have thought that there was something wonderful about this bush that it could go on burning and burning. But you are wrong. You are quite wrong. Do you see that bush over there? That scruffy, scraggy-looking thing? That bush would have done. And do you see this beautiful-looking bush, so shapely and fine? This bush would have done. For you see, Moses, any old bush will do, if only God is in the bush. And I wrote, when I was like 18 years old, I mean, I recognized the way that I wrote back then. And I said, that's my writing. And I wrote, I can also, you know. Excuse me. It's very meaningful to me. I wrote this. I can burn and burn and burn and not burn out. For it is God causing the flame and producing the action, not me. And so, I mean, that was in like 1974. And so, like, it's true. Right? I have been young and now I'm older, and God is faithful. And this is our message.
One small, before we read that verse, I want to draw your attention to a portion in Revelation 16 about frogs coming out of the mouths of kings. Chapter 16, verse 13. I just want to use this as an illustration that in my marriage, and we celebrate in a few days our 45th wedding anniversary. Wow. Believe me. Believe me. Just like being a father, I'm standing up and I'm thinking, like, I get no credit. This is God, you know. God, how is a child born? That's God, right? That's a miracle. It's about God. It's like Father's Day is God's day. Amen. God did that, you know. That's amazing. Revelation 16, it says, there are three unclean spirits like frogs, verse 13, right? I saw three unclean spirits like frogs. Now, there needs to be a lot of explanation. When does this happen? Where do those spirits come from? Why are they like frogs, right? Those are all good questions. I'm not going to answer any of them. I'm not answering any of those questions. You can study it. But I want to use it to graphically say that out of my mouth sometimes a frog has come out. How about you? I'm married, but I have seen somehow, sometimes it has happened, out of my mouth comes a frog. You know. And here it is, they are like unclean, they are unclean spirits like frogs. Now, where do we see frogs in the Bible? But in Egypt, there was a plague of frogs, and the frogs were everywhere. And just to say, that maybe in your life that happens to you, that frogs are in your house, in your bathtub, which is where they belong. No. They are at the dinner table. They are in the car. They are, unfortunately, could be in the church, in the cafe, on the deck. There could be frogs. And they are not, it's not God. It's just not God, and it's happened to me. I said something I shouldn't have said, or it came out the wrong way, or there just something like which was crazy that happened, but it happens to people. And here it says, verse 13, they came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, out of the mouth of the false prophet, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world. This is a time of deception in the world. And I, to be honest, we are watching in our country a evil work that has a spiritual message that is demonic, that is happening to fill our country with frogs, so to speak. But you aren't that way. You are different. You have the Spirit of God. You are people of the Spirit. And in Gethsemane, when Jesus was in the trial of his life, and he came to his disciples, and they were sleeping, he said these words, "The Spirit is willing. The Spirit is willing." And I think of capital S Spirit, that means Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is willing. The Spirit is willing. What is he willing to? He is always willing in communion with the Father and the Son. The Spirit is always willing to love. The Spirit is always willing to communicate. He is always willing to restore. He is always willing to move. The Spirit is always willing. And we are gathering this week for a love feast, which is not a feast of the flesh, but it is a feast where we are moved in our hearts, like Pastor Stan was broken as he shared that portion today about as a teenager. Was it you wrote it in the book when you were a teenager? That I can burn but not burn out. So that was 50 years ago or something, you know. And he's broken by it. He's broken by that sentence that he wrote as a teenager. Because he saw God being faithful. He hasn't burned out, but he's burning as a missionary in Argentina with his precious wife, Karen. Yesterday, Pastor Perkins and I were in a small group of us were talking out in the parking lot, and same thing happened to him. He remembered something, he said something, and then like a tear came to his eye, and he was remembering something from God that touched his heart as we were spending some time. This is a time when the Spirit is willing to bring a revival into the United States of America in a dark time. But there's the work of the frogs. The work of the frog man. There's the work of the devil too. So Proverbs 15:7 is our text today. So 15:17. Proverbs 15:17. And I'd like to speak about love. Love. God is. Love. Better is a dinner of herbs. You know, herbs are. There's no meat there. Meat and potatoes, no. It's a small, meager dinner, and there is love there. Mom is there. Dad is there. Love is there. The dog is there. My sisters and brothers. Love is there. We don't have much, but we have love. We don't have a lot on the table, but we've got love. That's what the proverb is saying. You know, I get discouraged, but I'm at a table where there's love. I'm disappointed with myself, maybe we could say. I'm disappointed. But I know who I am, I know where I belong, and I know God is love. I want to learn love. I don't have to have a big table of like delicacies and big thing, big banquet, be a lot of trimmings and a lot of, oh, what's that, pomposity, or what's the word? There isn't even any word like that. Pomposity. I don't know. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't need a lot like that. But some people do. Let's look at the next part. It says, then a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A stalled ox, you know, a lot, maybe there is a lot of money, but there's hatred. Maybe there's a lot of food, but there's hatred. Maybe there's a lot of jealousy there and foolishness and emptiness there. There's a lot of food there, but it's empty because there's no love there. And this is really the difference between people of the Spirit, because when you are of the Spirit, you seek God. I want you to turn to Proverbs 23. In this, you may be familiar with this text, 23:30. And this is a good teaching for both young and old people, and it is about drinking. Chapter 23:30. They that tarry long at the wine, they go to seek mixed wine. Notice the word seek. They look for it. Maybe some of you remember the days when you were addicted and you would seek the thing you were addicted on. You would seek the alcohol or the pornography or the drug. You would seek it. You would seek it. I understood sometimes in Dundalk, there'd be somebody living there and they just drive. They got one thing on their mind. They're driving into the city of Baltimore. They just drive in. They grab the drug and they go back and they get high. Or they do it in the city and they drive back high. They seek it. I mean, they seek it. I mean, they are addicted to it. I mean, they are on it. You could not stop them. They are after it. So that's a kind of seeking that is going on around us. And go to the next part. It says, 31, look not upon the wine when it is red, when it gives its color in the cup, when it moves itself aright. By the way, when you start looking and start studying things, you start gravitating to the thing. A man could start study a woman, and as he studies, as he thinks about it, entertains it, it grows in him. That thing can get a hold of him, and he can study it, and he can seek it. And that, for a man to do that, is actually, there's one good thing about it, and that is that we're made for the opposite sex. We're made to have a relationship. But at the same time, there's something sinful about me. The Spirit is willing to lead me, but my flesh is weak. And I have in my flesh this weakness for sin, and I seek it. I desire the stalled ox, where there is hatred there, but there's also the stalled ox. I lose money when I'm addicted to my drug or my alcohol. I lose money, and that's not a good thing, but there's the, what I'm looking for is, I find it, and I go back to it. Go to the next portion. verse 32. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. It gets you. Proverbs 6 says, it brings a man down to a piece of bread. It reduces my life to a habit. I just want to get the gas to get in my car to drive from Dundalk 7 miles into the city to get my... That's all that I want. It bites me. It takes me. Verse 33. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and your heart shall utter perverse things. That's what happens when you're under the influence of alcohol. The potential of illusion, delusion, and uttering unhealthy things, saying bad things. That's how marriages break up under alcohol. Marriage, people say the thing they shouldn't say. They would never say that if they were sober, but the alcohol loosens my tongue and I say something I should have never said, but I say it. I'm getting into trouble. 34. Yea, you shall be as he that lies down in the midst of the sea, and as he that lies on the top of a mast. That means you're waving back and forth. You're dizzy. You can all walk in a straight line. They have stricken me, verse 35, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. I am vomiting, but I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Just look at that last sentence, right? I am sick. I'm in more trouble. It's worse than it was. I wake up. I will seek it again. I cannot get out of it. I cannot get out of it. No. It's hard to get out of it. My flesh is weak. So that's the... stalled ox, but there's hatred. Bitter herbs, but there is love. I have bitter herbs. No, I don't have a party. I got a different kind of party. I got bitter herbs at my party. It's not much, but there's love there. I have a future there. I have God. I have God's blessing there. I have words of faith. God is there. Jesus is there. This is growing in me. It's developing. You see, in my flesh, I can be fascinated by a thing and it can take me, but in the spirit, I'm also fascinated. I'm drawn to faith and I start to think in terms of God and love and faith. And both can happen to me. Both can happen to me. And I need help so that I would cultivate this life of faith by paying attention to what God is saying to me about life, about love, about faith, about what the Spirit is saying. Spirit is willing. What does he want to tell me? Love. Love is addictive. Turn to Song of Solomon with me, please. Of course, it's a different kind of meaning of the word. There's an addiction where you are drawn to love. It's Song of Solomon. I said 8, but I want you to look at 1 first. Chapter 1, verse 1. The Song of Songs. Everybody needs a song. Not the song of a drunkard, but the song of songs, the amazing song of love. Life is about love, but not like a sentimental or carnal love. It's about a deeper love. It's about God's love, and God teaches you and I about love. love changes me. There's a dinner with herbs, but love is there. And it's a song. It's a song. What do we mean by a song? Well, they say you have words, and when you put it to music, the words sing, and the words have spirit. It's kind of like the music is the spirit of the word. You have the word and the spirit of the word. And you can sing the song. It's a song of love. Solomon wrote this, Song of Solomon, and it's about the love he had for a woman who has a very unique relationship. And it parallels the love that God has for you. God loves you. I have drawn you with cords of a man, with the bands of love, in Hosea 14:4, 11:4. I have loved you with an everlasting love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is love. When we have love, we don't have fear. We don't have fear. We just went through COVID without fear. We don't have fear. That's amazing. We don't have fear before. We don't have fear during. We don't have fear after. Why? Listen, Spirit is willing to teach me love and show me love, but the flesh is weak. I'm automatically inclined to the dust, to fear. I'm afraid I will die. I'm afraid I will die. I don't want to die. I'm afraid I will die. But here is a love, and it says, this love is stronger than death, and many waters cannot quench love. And set me as a seal upon your hearts, the believer says to God, or the woman said to Solomon, set me as a seal upon your heart. Put me on the palm of your hand. Write me in the book of life. That's how we live. Because even though we don't have everything that the world has, like a stalled ox, we have a dinner with herbs. We may not have much, but what we have is real. We haven't made it up. It's doctrinal. It's true. It's edifying. God says, I have accepted you. You are accepted in the beloved. You have an identity. You have a name. I gave you the Spirit. The Spirit is willing all the time. He is willing to love you. He loves you all the time to speak to you. You know, I could seek the addiction, but I have another option. I can seek God. I can seek God by faith. I can stop doing that, and I can seek God. By faith, I seek him. He said, seek me and you will find me. Really? Yeah. You find him. But where's the party? It's not there. There's another kind. There's something else. It's in your heart. Your heart comes alive. Didn't she say that in Song of Solomon? I sleep, but my heart awakes. I sleep, but I am awake. At night I am sleeping, but somehow in my heart or subconscious mind, I am awake to God. The Spirit of God dwells in us and is with us. Isn't that amazing? Look at the Song of Solomon 1. It says in verse 2, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Do you know that some of the rabbis, they didn't have the young men reading this piece of scripture until they were a little older because of some of the graphic material that is in this poem, in this song. And because it's about a dating and a courtship and then a marriage and the consummation of the marriage. And I love the book because I think this is like the way God wants to speak to us. I want to kiss you. My Jesus said, man should not live by bread alone. What is the bread or a stalled ox compared to the kisses of God and fellowship and love and faith? God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. Why would I sell out and have one when I can have the God of creation, the Almighty Living God, is my God? And yet, listen, I am drunk, I wake up, and I seek it again. Have you been there? Has that happened to you? I seek it again. It's happened to me. You know, many years ago, that's how I lived. Because nobody told me. Nobody told me. I went to a big high school. I think we had 2,400 people in the high school. We had 607 in my graduating class. Nobody, not one person ever told me about Christ. Nobody, not one in my school. Nobody. But were they partying weekends? Were they running? And were we rowdy and carousing and all that? Yeah, constantly. Weekend by weekend. That's how we lived. Nobody told me. I went to college my second year. Somebody told me. One guy told me. It changed my life. One guy told me. One guy told me Jesus Christ is real. That's all it was. That's the way it, listen, you and I are in a world, many seek what they do and they seek it again and they lie down in sorrow. And we are people with a song of love. A love that covers a multitude of sin, Proverbs 10:12. A love that never fails. A love from God Almighty. Look at him on the cross over there. God Almighty. God Almighty. It's amazing. He gave us his son. How could he give us any more? He that spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Romans 8:32. And sent the Holy Spirit and said in Gethsemane, why couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. I want to say that about our week coming up. The spirit is willing to speak. The spirit is willing to help me. The spirit is willing to teach me. The spirit is willing to move in my heart and help me. He will help me. It doesn't mean that a frog won't come out of my mouth every once in a while. God forbid, but it can happen. Doesn't mean that I couldn't produce a lot of trouble. Like, why are there... Lisa, that's my wife's name. Lisa, why are there so many frogs everywhere in the house? And she said, you've been talking too much. You've been talking too much. Change your words. Speak from God. Live in love. Forgive often. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Walk in the Spirit and fill your house with the glory of God. The house of God. Why are the churches empty? There's too many frogs. Why is the country in trouble? There's too many frogs. It's demonic. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing to bring a revival into your heart. Spirit is willing to set you free from your flesh. Spirit is willing to bring revival inside a church and fill our mouths with praises and glorify God in our life of faith. The Spirit is willing to say to you in your heart, will you knock it off? And you're so filled with yourself. Would you let me fill you and bless you? Would you let me anoint you with fresh oil? You're so filled with yourself, you just talk about yourself, think about yourself, worry about yourself, protect yourself, defend yourself. You're just constantly talking day and night about you. Are you hungry for something else? Get a dinner with herbs and sit down and let God love you. And when He loves you, and you start to realize who He is and that He's God Almighty, then you'll stop talking about that stuff and you start glorifying God and saying, what is God doing in the world? What does God want to do with my family? What does God want to do in my life? Father, teach me the doctrine. Teach me the Bible. I go to Bible college. I go to a Bible study. I go to church 3 times a week. I live by faith. I'll bring my kids along with me. I want you to, is your spirit willing? And God is saying, my spirit is willing. I am so much for you. I gave you my only son, and he was crucified so you could die, and now you could live because he lives, you live too. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but not I, but Christ lives within me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, and I do not frustrate the grace of God. Imagine that. So, just lovingly and in this way that we just did this morning, I just want to say, by way of encouragement, I think it'll happen this week. You'll be sitting at a table, and God will be there in somebody's mouth, and you'll listen to it. There'll be somebody here on the stage. God will be in the heart and in the mouth. There'll be a song, and that'll be Monday night. Julius and the band will be down, or the music down there on the stage. And on a Monday night, we call it homecoming. It's just a gathering together on Monday night, 7 o'clock. I think it'll start around 5. But the point is, in somebody's in the mouth is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is willing to say to people, all kinds of people, I love you. I couldn't love you more. I am for you. I am for you. I want you to learn how to live through me. I want you to learn to edify. I want you to learn to live by faith. I want to give you gifts. I have given you gifts. I want you to learn how to use them. I want you to walk in faith. God could say any number of things. I remember when it started happening in my life and I started to get hope and I started to believe. And then I was here more. I was hanging out more and I was around the church more and just kind of getting crumbs from the table and picking up a crumb here and there and kind of got new friends. And I started to listen, and I bought a Bible. I started to read and think and make little notes in the edges and the columns. And I got new friends. I started to learn my Bible, and I started to grow in faith. And this is what I want to see happen all over the place. And then what will happen is, yeah, God will use you. God will use you. And these dear people that don't know of any other way, but I will seek it again. I will seek it. I'm sick. I'll seek it again. I don't know what to do. I'll do it again. But you're over here saying, hey, hey. You're over here with a joy and a smile. And waving your arms, and wisdom has gone out into the street and cried from her high place, How long, you simple ones, will you love your simplicity? Turn in here and gain wisdom. Have a change. Learn grace. Grow by faith. Make faith decisions. The Spirit is willing. He wants you. He is for you. He will teach you. He will help you. Okay? Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the one with the dinner with herbs in the Gospels. You didn't even have money to pay the temple tax, but you knew there was a fish in the lake that had it in its mouth. You didn't have enough food to feed the multitude, but you showed us the Father, and you fed the multitude miraculously. Dinner with herbs is not appealing to the people in the big circles of power and all that stuff, but to us, we're drawn to it because you are there. If you are there, then everything's okay. Lord, if you are there, if you are in our houses, Lord, it'll be okay. If you are there, it'll be okay. If you're with us in the emergency room, it'll be okay. Ultimately, if you are here with us in this torn up, tattered, sometimes miserable life. But if you are here, the Spirit is willing to teach me. Spirit is willing to fill me. Spirit is willing to comfort me and help me. Lord, we pray for the week coming up. Give us an amazing week, God. Please, not by flesh, but by your Spirit. Renew us, Lord, and fill us and bless us, Lord. In these days, the world needs it. They're sick with insatiable desires. He can never be satisfied. Just lust and passion, and I will seek it again. I will seek it again. I will seek it again. It's destroying my life and my body. It's destroying my life. But I will seek it again. I will seek it again. Father, help us to open our mouths to speak as we ought to. Help us to proclaim the gospel in all the world. Help us to help bless in our home. Help us to understand who you are and what you've done for us. And please feed us all week by your Holy Spirit, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Anyone listening to my voice and you want Jesus in your life, just raise your hand and say, I want Jesus in my life. I'm going to turn from my way. I'm going to follow him. The Spirit is willing. He saves me. God saves me. Raise your hand. Anyone in the room, Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I want to do two things as we close. Any Greater Grace pastor, come on up. We're going to have, come on up and stand down here. And if you want a prayer or one of these men to lay their hand on you, pray for you, then you can come up at the end. The second thing, there is prayer and praise tonight in our church. We're going to, instead of a rap, we're going to do praise and praise in the room. It's a beautiful experience, beautiful time in the Spirit. That'll be tonight after the service, or leading from the service into that. And so let's all stand and we'll close with a song with Josh.